Did you know that there's a technical name for the fear of long words? It's called hippopotamonstralia. I can't even, I'm not, it's too long. We got lots of fun facts and more coming up.
We got lots of info. Let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know with Rhino.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Rhino. In case you didn't know, I'm Rhino. This is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. So let's sit through this together. Hippopotomonstrosesquipedaliophobia. I'm not quite sure it was worth it, but there it is. In today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun and excitement, and you might even learn something. Yes, we're going to go over lots of cool facts, some random trivia that you may not know, and we're going to talk about a couple of cool things and maybe a science fact or two along the way. But we don't do it alone. In fact, this episode, I'm graced with the presence of the loveliest human being I've ever met. That's why I married her. My wife, Rachel O. Hello, darling.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I am doing quite well. This episode has been brought to you by Jameson. I just drank some.
It is delicious.
One of my favorites, as you know, is the Jameson Caskmate with the stout. It's a little bit more smoother than usual.
It is. It's very nice and smooth.
But of course, you have a different favorite whiskey.
I do. It was discovered when we were in Canada.
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 Which one's your favorite? Tell the folks.
I like Pendleton, and it's a rye whiskey from Canada, and it was recommended to me by our waiter in Canmore, and I think our waiter's from Australia, and I asked him what Canadian whiskey he would recommend.
It was a bit of a weird experience, but yeah, he said this one, and we tried it, and you loved it.
It was so good, and then when I had my glass finished, he goes, "Want another?" And I said, "Maybe in a minute," and he goes, "I'm bringing you another." And I, okay, that's service, folks.
Yep, so the moral of the story, if there is one, is always ask questions because you might be pleasantly surprised with the answers.
Exactly.
So, Pendleton, do they have different versions of it like what Jameson does?
Not that I am aware of, but I just have only seen the one kind available in the liquor stores.
So that means it's time for our first segment called Ryan Searches Google for Pendleton Whiskey.
I mean, Google is, whoever invented Google is just.
Ooh, there are.
Ooh.
So let's go to the main website, Pendleton Whiskey. It asked me, are you of age? Yes. Yes, I am of legal age.
Yeah.
And it's got whiskeys. So
plus there's a cowboy with a bucking horse on it. So, I mean, whoa.
It's a great logo.
I love horses.
They have four different types.
Okay.
They have their original.
Yes.
They have a 1910.
Okay.
Their 1910 is a 80 proof. It's another rye.
That bottle looks beautiful.
It's a nice amber color.
Ooh.
It's a oak barrel age, a minimum of 12 years.
Terrible.
It was named to honor the year of the first ever Pendleton Roundup, which I'm assuming is a name of a city, I guess.
Yeehaw!
Right on. And it finishes with the smoothness of maple and sweet cherry.
Ooh, I need.
So that's that one. They're all pretty much 80 proofs. Let's see. Ooh, the Midnight is a 90 proof. Huh. It's a super premium. Really? Portion of it is aged for 6 years in an American brandy barrel. Made from using the glacier-fed spring water from Mount Hood in Oregon.
Aha!
That's the Midnight. And then there's the Director's Reserve, an 80 proof, which is aged 20 years.
Now, I'll just stick with my 1910 in the original.
So that means you and I have to find some 1910.
We do need to find that.
It'll be an experience.
Yes.
So that's what we're currently drinking. Let's go ahead and jump into the mailbox of doom. This is where I check the internet and figure out what sort of things you folks have been saying about the podcast or interacting with us, and we try to see if we can escape without letting any boulders loose on us. It's the Mailbox of Doom. Now, we haven't had any information about the last question of the episode, but that's okay. We'll go back into it. But we have sold some t-shirts lately.
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah, it's pretty awesome. So someone has purchased our pregame responsibly shirt. And then we've also got our fabulous party foul shirt. If you don't know about our shirts, I recommend that you go to our magical website. The website, of course, is zazzle.com/store/ did you know with Ryan O, all one word. Zazzle.com/store/ did you know with Ryan O. And by the time this episode comes out, there will be another new t-shirt design out there called Participation Trophy Wife. It's going to be funny. You should buy one. Anyways, besides that, we don't really have any other things happening. We've got a couple of thumbs up on the Book of Faces, but no ratings yet. So for those of you out there, go to Apple Podcasts, send us a review, rate us. That'd be great. And that's all we have for the Mailbox of Doom. Kind of a cool thing going on. So I guess we're going to jump into a fun word of the day. Do you have a fun word that you want to talk about that you like to use on a daily basis?
I actually like to use the word opportunity.
Opportunity.
Because sometimes when you present ideas to people, they don't like them as much when you say, this is a great deal, or you should do this. You present it in a way that sounds pleasant and more of like a goal for them to achieve. So when you say the word opportunity, it's kind of like intriguing in some ways to people, and also isn't, I guess, a scary word.
So it's a more positive term.
It is a positive term. So, and it's also good to view things that happen to you, maybe that aren't so great, as opportunities to change or to go in a different direction. Maybe that you didn't plan for or saw coming, but when there's a roadblock, maybe it's not really a roadblock, but an opportunity to go in a different direction.
I love it. That's some amazing words of wisdom and a pretty cool word. This pretty cool word that you brought to us, where do you think it came from? Like, which type of people? Like, what country? What language?
The Romans with Latin?
You are 100% correct. It is a Latin term. Opportunitatem. Which is the first part coming from the phrase or potum venus, coming towards a port. So you're going towards a harbor. It's a favorable thing, going towards a goal. That's what their opportunity meant.
If you can't see my face right now, it's kind of grimacing because that opportunitatem or whatever word you just said.
Yep.
Brought me back to Latin class when I had to conjugate verbs, and it's not that fun.
So we've also learned that Latin is not fun, but having new opportunities are.
Absolutely. Positivity is key to life's adventure.
Well, I'm also positive that we're going to learn a new word in this episode.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's going to be a good one called oleaginous. Oleaginous is our new word. Rachel, what do you think that one means?
It sounds like Robin saying, oleaginous, Batman. I have no idea.
I like your answer better than what it actually is. It's resembling or having the properties of oil.
Hmm.
It's also marked by, or being marked by, an offensively ingratiating manner or quality. So that's oleaginous.
You should have picked a bigger word since our beginning thing was where we were scared of big words.
Yep. I should have picked a bigger word. That would frighten everyone else away. I also didn't pronounce that one better either, so no. We all know how good my name pronunciation is. It's great, but hopefully my facts about locations is going to be a little bit different.
Okay.
Rachel, where would you say the healthiest place in the world is?
Like a country or are you looking at for a city?
A country.
I'm probably thinking like Sweden.
Sweden?
Sure. Let's say that.
It's pretty good. It's actually Panama.
Panama?
Yeah. There's a small valley near Volcan in Panama, which is, they had the distinction of being the world's healthiest place to live, according to 2018, reported by International Living. It's now called the Shangri-La Valley. It's home to beautiful scenery, low cost of living, and a significantly longer life expectancy than the surrounding areas. It's got a warm climate, an active social scene, healthy food, slower pace of life that makes for like less daily stress. And that's why it's one of the healthier places to live.
That does sound kind of nice because I do think that our pace of life that we have here in the United States is pretty bad. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
The pressure of daily life on everyone. It's not conducive to good health.
Everyone needs to take a time to sit back and relax or stand around and experience new things and enjoy their surroundings. Mm-hmm.
People are just in way too much of a hurry. Even just driving on the roads, it's crazy. I can tell when I'm closer to home than closer to the city of Orlando by the driving skills of people.
Okay. So you're saying that people that are going into Orlando are a little bit more stressful than people coming home?
Yes. Nice. Oh, yeah. I can tell when I'm driving around my city versus downtown Orlando area.
But also, isn't sometimes driving a nice, quiet, and relaxing experience?
It was before I moved to the Orlando area. I used to take breaks in college in the Panhandle of Florida, and my break from studying would be to take a drive and out to like the beach area and roll down my windows, crank up the tunes. It was really nice. But driving around here is not pleasant at all.
So what we should do in this episode is talk about more pleasant things and more fun and friendly places that you could experience. And we're going to do so right after this.
Did you know with Rhino?
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. This episode has been brought to you by Everyday Cosplay Finds. Ever wanted to show off your favorite character or group of characters, but don't see things online that match your style? Then check out Everyday Cosplay Finds, bringing cosplay into your everyday. Go to Etsy.com/shop/EverydayCosplayFinds for more information. And now back to our show.
Did you know with Rhino?
All right, so some of my favorite places to drive around and check out have like wide open areas to see a bunch of cool trees and whatnot, and there are some places in this state that have plenty of that.
Absolutely, that's one place that you and I like to explore and escape the daily hustle and bustles of stressful city life, and that's our Florida State Parks.
That's right, Florida State Parks. If you folks have ever been to the state of Florida, what you've probably done is been to, well,
a theme park.
Yep, theme parks.
Lots of concrete. Lots of crowds.
That's right.
Lots of waiting in line.
Very stressful environment. How can you have a vacation when you're being surrounded by stress?
You need a vacation from your vacation.
So if you want a vacation from your vacation, we recommend
state parks.
That is correct. And some of our favorites are in the Central Florida area.
Absolutely. We've been to 10 in this area.
So let's go ahead and talk about some of those that we've been to. I know the closest one to us is Lake Louisa State Park.
It sure is, and that's a fun state park. In fact, we've been there, twice so far, and we haven't done all the trails yet.
And they got lots of trails, which are fun and friendly and beautiful. They also have some
campsites and cabins.
Oh, yeah, the cabins are nice. They overlook the lake area, and they got like little fire access. So that's cool.
That's always fun for when you're camping out or staying in a cabin, is light up a fire, get some dogs or some marshmallows.
And there's a giant lake in the back with a nice, friendly playground for kids and whatnot, too.
Yeah, it was a really nice beach.
Very relaxing environment. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, long views, and the trails are pretty well managed, too.
Absolutely. Very, very easy to walk around. Very relaxing.
I like when the trails are well managed because you don't have to work as hard to get through them. Also, it's a lot safer to get through and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went to Canada, up in the Alberta area for Banff and the Jasper, those sort of park areas, we explored a few different trails, and those were beautifully well kept. And you didn't really have to climb over things and worry about low-hanging branches and whatnot.
No, yeah, they were very well maintained, and the trails were nicely marked, and I had a really great time. I think you were very impressed. I remember when we were on the trails of how well kept they were.
Yeah, I was really happy that I didn't get lost. That's like kind of like a little fear that everyone has, is being lost in the middle of the woods, and all of a sudden something comes around. Oh,
it's a bear. Because yeah, we didn't encounter any bears while we were afoot, but we were definitely in bear country.
So at least with everything well marked, you knew which direction to go to in case something happened.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So another state park in Florida that had a lot of pretty good directions in it was the Blue Springs.
Blue Springs was really nice. Yeah. We saw some manatees this time because we went during the winter time, and that's when the manatees come more frequently to the warmer spring areas.
And this is on the east side of the state, a little bit closer towards Daytona area.
Yes, yes. That was a nice state park, but you need to get there early because it does get crowded pretty quickly, especially during manatee season when the manatees come more frequently in. But they have a really nice boardwalk that you can walk along with viewing points along the springs. And we saw quite a few manatees. I would say maybe 100, you think?
Oh, yeah. There were dozens upon dozens of them out there. One of my least favorite things, which is really difficult to control, was when we went, there was a very loud and obnoxious family that was behind us.
Yeah, we kept running into them, whether we showed up to a platform and they did, or they were already there. So, I mean, I think parents should be teaching their kids to be respectful, especially when you're out in nature. You kind of have to treat it like a library. You talk softly, you don't scream and run and pound your feet on the ground.
You don't want to startle the native wildlife. That's their house.
Exactly. You want to be respectful to other people that are there to enjoy the wildlife, which is one reason we go there, is to enjoy the wildlife and peace and quiet and calming, sereneness of nature.
Yeah, you always need to remind yourself that you are nature's guest in these places. So what the lay of the land is to just be chill, relax, and enjoy.
Absolutely.
What's another place that you and I have checked out here in the state of Florida?
I'd say one of my other favorites was the Colk Creek State Park. That was pretty cool.
That was the one that had the little lake in the center of it?
Yes, I think they did have a lake in the center, and we did one of the hikes, but I think they have several other hikes that we haven't been to yet. And that's closer to Lakeland, in between us and Lakeland.
That's a fun one. I like some of them that have the open little lake areas. And canoeing on them is pretty cool. You can sometimes take a canoe out and relax and have yourself a good time, but you definitely want to bring bug spray, especially during the springtime.
Yeah, I'd say if you go out hiking at all, you would want bug spray for sure, no matter where you're going. And then if you're going to be out in a lot of sun, you definitely want to go ahead and wear sunscreen. And if you're hiking in woods, I would definitely recommend a hat because there are ticks in the state of Florida. I have read places that have said there are not ticks in the state of Florida, which that's just untrue.
And also always bring a buddy. Never go out hiking alone. Yeah,
don't hike alone. It's not safe. When we were in Canada, I saw people hiking by themselves and mostly women.
In flip-flops.
We saw people hiking in flip-flops and we had on our boots. And even to this day, we take hiking boots, which proved very helpful when we went to the Lake Griffin State Park a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Lake Griffin State Park was an experience.
It was pretty and nice, but I would only go there one time, I think.
The trails are somewhat kept up, but are...
They only have one trail. I don't know what you're talking about, trails.
Well, so it's
There's one trail.
It's a giant loop, is what I'm trying to say. And this giant loop has some bits of it where the elevation is below zero, it seems like, because you're walking through a swamp.
Yeah, there's some marshy areas that just have two wooden planks that you're walking on that, I mean, you know, with a little bit of weight, don't submerge in the water, but they definitely dip down towards the water. And there were some muddy areas where our entire foot slid into the mud.
Yeah, I was covered by the time we left and also was not really enjoying being submerged in the water every other step that I was making.
No, yeah, it was not the greatest location. I probably wouldn't recommend that one for hiking. Maybe boating if you had a boat or could rent a canoe. That looks like this is a nice place to do that more so.
Yep.
Because they had like a waterway that led out to Lake Griffin.
Yeah, that was more of an enjoyable experience, just checking out the water area. Mm-hmm. But getting there, mm-hmm, not so much.
The Dade Battlefield Historic State Park was a bit of a drive for us to get to. It was an okay state park. Probably not one I would go to frequently unless I lived in the area. The hike was okay. We went through like the meadow, kind of the sandy area. Had some really pretty big trees. But I think that was the place that we saw the bear sign, but in the middle of our hike. Do you remember that?
Yeah. So they're warning you, but you're already halfway through. So you're like,
they're like, here's what to do in case of a bear while you're in the middle of your hike.
Yeah. Not like a beware at the very beginning. You might experience a bear. It's like, now you're halfway here. Good luck, dude. What's up? But there are some other areas, some other state parks that are a little bit more open and friendly, like the Wakiwa Springs.
Wakiwa Springs is, to me, like a very popular place. So if you are going there, especially on a really nice day and on a weekend, you want to get there bright and early when they open. But yeah, those are like local hangout places that people frequent a lot.
Even the Wakiwa Island area too.
Yes, those are very popular. We've been canoeing there, which was nice. But I think there are better places to go canoeing that I've been, because I like places when you go canoeing that you can kind of beach your canoe, sit on the beach and have your lunch or whatnot, and then play in the water a little. But I feel like down here in Central Florida, because of gators are more frequent than in Northern Florida, where I hung out in some of the state parks up there, it's a little less, I guess, not approved, but a little less convenient, I guess, to beach your canoe and hang out in the water. They don't really want you to do that.
When I was up in Central Michigan, we used to have the Chippewa River, and we would go tubing or canoeing down the river, and there were these nice, awesome spots on the side where you could just hang out, and there was a beach, and you could just
throw a ball, throw frisbee.
Yeah.
Just chill.
Exactly. It was a grand old time. And these Central Florida Springs areas, like you said, not really enough space for that, but they are absolutely beautiful to canoe through. You just want to go early.
They are pretty. Absolutely. I would agree with that. And then, I mean, that's pretty much almost all the ones we've done on the list. We have been to the Weekiwachee State Park and then the Weekiwachee.
That's over on the
the West Coast near, like, above Hudson. And then we've also been on the West Coast to the Honeymoon Island State Park, where we went to the beach.
Yes, a lot of ants.
There were ants on the beach, which I thought was odd. I've never had a problem with that before. But, I mean, it was still a really nice beach, a little bit rocky for the Gulf, because it's on the Gulf. I've been to prettier beaches for sure.
Yeah, but it was a nice space to just hang out and relax, a really, really chill vibe. Not a lot of people when we went.
No, not really.
And one of the cool things about going to state parks versus going to more of the touristy area is that you have the opportunity to relax, and you can, you know, move your arms out without hitting someone.
Yes, that is really nice. And you can hear, like, the birds and the wind blowing through the trees and rustling the leaves and just kind of connecting with nature, clearing your mind. It's so peaceful. That's why I love it, and I think we're going to continue to explore more and more state parks.
So once we do explore more and more of these state parks, we'll be sure to let you know in future episodes of Did You Know, Ryan O. So along the way, I guess we've got a couple more science facts to go through here in this episode. Speaking of nature, so lava, magma, do you think that you could sink in a pool of rolling magma?
I mean, like, if you're standing on magma that's rolling down the hill, am I going to sink into it?
Yep.
Probably, because it's going to be disintegrating my body.
Well, before it does that, the magma is 3 times as dense as water and 100,000 times as viscous. Viscous? Either one.
You sound like my physical, my anatomy and physiology teacher there.
Vicious? Viscous. Vicious? It's
probably viscous.
Probably viscous.
If we're talking about the consistency of fluid, it's viscous.
There you go. So submergent, anyways, sinking becomes less feasible when the lava begins to cool and forms a crust. Submersion just isn't going to happen. So those slow-mo movie lava deaths don't happen. You get burnt to death instead.
Oh, no. Don't play with magma.
Yes. Don't play with magma.
Don't go near magma.
That's our...
unless you're a trained professional. Even then, probably should keep your distance.
Yeah, I don't want to play with magma, be anywhere near it. Like, don't play with fire. Don't play with magma. They're pretty much the same. Just don't do it.
Yeah, it's just in a different form.
Liquid... Is it liquid fire? Would you classify magma as liquid fire?
I would. I would say that it's kind of like a... Actually, it's liquid rock.
Ooh.
That's even scarier, that isn't is. It?
That's terrifying. Yikes. So we went from talking about being, you know, surrounded by nature, trying not to get near alligators, not being near fire... And so now let's talk about something a little bit more friendly, a little bit more helpful here with our random trivia generator.
Bring it.
All right. So here's a history fact. What state did Gerald Ford represent in Congress before being promoted to Richard Nixon's vice president?
Iowa.
Michigan.
Close enough.
Yeah. The comma bacillus causes what disease?
I'm sorry, the what?
C-O-M-M-A, comma, B-A-C-I-L-L-U-S, bacillus, causes what disease?
Pink eye.
Cholera.
Okay.
Yeah. The Volta is the largest river in what country?
Is it Hungary?
Ghana.
I don't know this one.
I don't know this one either. What is the international radio code word for the letter V?
Victor.
That's right. You got it. Nice work. At a military funeral, an American flag is folded how many times?
13.
That is correct. What is Dorothy's last name in The Wonderful Wizard of Oz?
Gail.
That is correct. Which female gymnast won 3 golds and a silver in the 1972 Summer Olympics?
I have no clue.
Olga Korbut. I didn't know that one either. Let's see. What is the common name for the Boeing 747?
I don't know. I know it as the Boeing 747.
It's also known as a jumbo jet. we got three more coming up. What's the westernmost state of the United States?
Hawaii.
They're saying Alaska.
Alaska. Yep. Probably those stupid little chain of islands.
Oh, yeah. Whose mysterious murder ends in the film Gorillas in the Mist?
What? No.
Whose mysterious murder ends the film Gorillas in the Mist?
I don't know.
Oh, it's Diane Fossey's. I don't know that one either.
Who would know that?
Who is credited with the discovery of Neptune's moon Triton?
Some crazy person that probably went blind from staring through a telescope so long.
William Lassell.
Good for him.
And then, which James Bond actor once worked as a coffin polisher?
That's a job?
That is a job.
I would do that job. That would be an easy job. How much do they get paid?
A coffin polisher?
I don't know who did it. We'll just say George Larrabee.
It's actually Sean Connery.
Ah.
Coffin polishers.
Salary.
Coffin polisher. Salary? Find out.
I bet people don't even get paid for that anymore.
All that shows up with this
is Sean Connery.
Is Sean Connery.
What the heck?
Over and over again. I don't know, but that sounds like it could be a really fun
job.
Apparently,
he's the most famous coffin polisher, and people didn't even know that that was a thing, except for Google.
How would you like that to be your profession?
Well, I kind of feel like it's a dying profession, because people don't really use coffins that much anymore.
So you'd be like an urn polisher?
I guess so, or a cremation specialist.
Okay. Okay, we got options for funeral homes and whatnot. If you have an answer, if you work for a funeral home, let us know. But before we go, we're going to let you guys in on our random question of the week, which we like to answer on our Facebook, Twitter, or our email. And Rachel, what do you think our question of the week should be?
I think it should be, either in the state of Florida or your home state, where is your favorite place to go hiking?
Where is your favorite place to go hiking? That sounds like an excellent question of the week. Now, you can always respond to us via Facebook, Did You Know with Ryano, Twitter, at Did You Know Ryano, or you can email us, didyouknowryano@gmail.com, with any sorts of questions, comments, or concerns, or awesomeness relating to the podcast. We had lots of fun this episode. Thank you very much, Rachel, for joining me.
It's always a pleasure. I like talking about hiking and food.
Oh, yes.
And whatever randomness that happens on here.
Even coffin polishing. We had lots of fun. Hope you folks did. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryano. We'll talk to you later.